Jeff DeForest along with Mike Luby Lubitz, although we're hearing footsteps that we might be replaced by a couple of characters in our endeavor to do sports talk here, and we want to introduce two of our favorite characters at once right now, both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. Bugs, Yogi, how are you guys?
It's true, Doc. I'm a rabbit, all right. And right next to me here is that illustrious bear, Yogi Bear.
Hey, I'm smarter than the average bear.
That's great.
I think you're onto something there. Of course, we're talking to Jeff Bergman. James, congratulations. You're winner of the Marlin tickets. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, well, thank you very much, and I want to thank you for being a great entertainer and sports guy, you and Luby both, for many years in Miami. I listen to you guys almost every morning. My daughter actually recites your phone number.
Hey.
Every time you guys announce it, she says it with you, number for number.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you. We love you guys. We listen almost every morning.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, thank you for the kind words. They are greatly appreciated, and every now and then, just like when Budenholzer told this team you can do it, you need a little encouragement to just continue in this job, as often it seems like a blind endeavor into the dark. We're talking to Jeff Bergman, who is both Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear. If Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear were going to do a ball game of some sort, what would that sound like?
Well, all right, folks. There he is, LeBron James, coming down the court. There he is. Up, nope, he's a little bit of a crybaby. That's right, Doc. Up.
Hey, oh boy, there's Anthony Davis dribbling down the court. And I'm talking about not that dribble, another dribble.
All right, there he is, folks. The action is about to start. Oh, there's a foul. Ow. And that's all, folks.
Jeff Bergman.
The time.
Wake up with Defo. Joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defo Show.
Well, woke up on the money, feeling kind of funny. Tuesday, Wednesday, man, I think about money. Break out of the cold, cold sweat, thinking about that winning bet. Thursday night, I'm feeling all right. Degenerate Friday's in my sight. Degenerate Friday, degenerate Friday. I said degenerate Friday, degenerate Friday. The default told Jersey if I had my way, every single day would be degenerate Friday. Jimmy Marcus gotta pick the winners in the way. Yeah, it's my favorite day of the week. Got me on a winning streak. Boys down deal, they love the show. They follow our picks and make some dough. Degenerate Friday, degenerate Friday. I said degenerate Friday, degenerate Friday. Default told Jersey if I had my way, every single day would be degenerate Friday.
All right, the Depot Dances are working it right out here trackside at Gulfstream Park. Great to be with you on a beautiful Friday. It's a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. I'm Jeff DeForest along with Luby Brown. He's going to channel his inner Luby Brown today. That was a great pick. Sensational. I think it's really going to help the franchise. Okay, Luby. No, Luby would never say that. Luby would say it was a giant mistake. Anyway, Mike Luby Lubitz with us on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. And joined out here on the dais, trackside, Breezeway Bar, Gulfstream Park, by Jersey Kyle Martinez. And the interesting thing is, it's one of my favorite lines in the movie Rounders, when John Turturro as Knish sees Matt Damon coming in after he took that beating from the cops, and he says, "What happened to you? You look like Dwayne Bobic." What happened to you, man? Top of your head, man. There's a giant welt up there, and unfortunately, it's very visible because whatever that hair product was that you were touting when you were before you had Karen and you were trying to hit on that chick at the health food store,
right?
It didn't do much good.
No.
Either that, or when you stopped using the product that you were getting for free, everything went backwards and retreated to the point where you could say his hairline has been retarded a little bit. No, but what happened? You walked into a tree?
Yes.
That is some welt.
Yeah, it was a good shot. It was a little rough.
Got out of the car, was rushing into a building department.
How old are you now? You're only, what, 60-something, right?
63 and a half.
This shouldn't be happening yet.
Tree.
Where you get out of your car and you bang your head on a tree?
On a tree, yeah, that was perfect.
You were unaware that there was a limb hanging over the...
A low branch that was less than 6 foot tall, and I ran right into it, almost knocked myself out, saw stars.
That doesn't look good up there. I mean, did you see a doctor? No, you're not inclined to go to any doctors.
No, of course I didn't go see a doctor. I grabbed an old...
Nurse!
Grabbed a napkin out of the car and stuck it on my head, and that was it. But
how dumb did you feel? I mean, did you feel like a fool? It's still painful because you put that headset on. That's how I noticed it. And then all of a sudden, Luby, there's a giant red welt on the top of this guy's head.
That's not good. I took off like 3 layers of skin. It wasn't good. I felt like I felt like Wepner. The blood was pouring down.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Everybody thought you were from Bayonne after that.
Got back in the car, and I gave my friend Karen a call, and I said, Karen.
Oh, you didn't tell her.
No, I had to tell her.
Why?
Because I was in the
bucket. Oh, because you were going to use this as an excuse to get out of another salmon steak?
No, I was going to use it.
Does she make salmon for you every night? I mean, you're going to turn pink if this
happens. She doesn't even cook for me anymore. That's over. Yeah.
That's over, that whole romance thing?
She like throws a sandwich out the slot.
She realized that she was shooting very low on the totem pole of love.
Of course, yes.
All right, so you're okay, though?
Yeah, no, I'm going to be all right. It was good.
Very good. All right, it was a great day yesterday, a blockbuster day in the world of sports. Luby, I know you are salivating at the possibilities of the various discussions that we could have here on the show. But I'm going to defer to you, Luby, because I have to say I don't know too much about this just-concluded NBA draft. This Cade Cunningham, everybody says, is great, 6'8", Magic Johnson, you know, look-alike, could be one of the greatest players of all time. Detroit Pistons get him. That ends his career, right? Because, you know, ever since the Bad Boys... Who's gone to the Pistons that actually prospered? That would be, what, nobody, Luby? Can you think of anybody that's prospered?
I mean, they had that run where they went to like 5 or 6 straight conference finals and won a title, but that was with a bunch of guys that were drafted elsewhere.
All right, and then you had a blockbuster deal in the NBA yesterday, which I like. I like this deal. I love that the Lakers got Russell Westbrook. How about that? Off the Washington Wizards, and they dealt 3 guys. I guess Harrell was one. Kyle Kuzma. Is Kyle Kuzma the most overrated prospect in the history of NBA basketball? What do you think, Mike Luby-Lubitz? Kuzma. I haven't seen much from this guy. Every time I see him, he's a stiff.
When he got moved to the bench with LeBron there, he was not the same dude.
Stiff. He's changed hair colors more than he's scored. I believe that to be the case. Anyway, he's part of a package. Westbrook ends up with the Lakers, and that brings up, see, you love topical sports talk. I don't know if you want to weigh in on this, Jersey Kyle, but who has the better big three right now? The Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, when healthy, obviously brilliant, or the Los Angeles Lakers now with an aging LeBron, Anthony Davis, injury prone, and Russell Westbrook, who everybody thinks is a selfish pig with the basketball.
Right.
What do you think?
You know, I think the best big three around at this point is the Saturday crew at the Trivia Challenge, which would be you.
The Pauly Man.
The Pauly Man. And I can shoot the ball still, even though I'm shooting from the hip. I was in the playgrounds as a young child.
Pauly Man has a little bit of a jumper, man, top of the key.
And Dave,
he doesn't really jump. He shoots it from, like, his hip. He really does. He's like Guy Rogers. I don't know if you remember that guy.
Yeah.
Shot underhand free throws. He was pretty good guard in his day, Guy Rogers.
And then let's not forget, you know, the biggest of them all, the big Dave Gergles. Gergles. Dynamite Dave Gergles.
Gergles is like a trick shot artist. I don't know if you remember this bowler named Annie Varapapa. Do you remember a bowler named Annie Varapapa?
No.
Luby, you were into bowling.
No, I don't remember him, and I don't think anybody does, but that's all right. Go right ahead.
What do you mean? How do you not remember? I mean, guys that take sport as circus should be respected. Should
Andy Varapapa.
Andy Varapapa. Look
him
up. Go ahead. Take your phone out there. You were a 200 average bowler, and you never heard of Andy Varapapa?
I never heard that name.
There is no such guy.
Have you heard of the Proto Popoffs in skating? The Proto Popoffs?
No.
I threw that in for Leslie Visser. That was strictly for her. Leslie, that one was for you. She loves any reference to the Proto Popoffs, who were like a dynamite pairs ice dancing. Is that what they call it? It's not really skating. It's dancing. Or
dancing,
something.
Yes.
Yeah, they think of a lot of bizarre applications of the same thing, don't they, in Olympic competition? Like you're watching somebody do the same thing that you just saw yesterday, but it's a different event. It's kind of cool. But nonetheless, Andy Varapapa was a trick shot bowler.
Trick shot.
Gergles is a trick shot artist in all sports, believe it or not.
Right.
Like, he can take a driver and turn it around backwards, a right-handed driver, turn it around backwards, and with the wedge part, hit a line drive right down the middle of the fairway, 300 yards.
Wow.
Left-handed. And then turn right around and do it right-handed. Ambidextrous.
Very nice.
Yeah, we should have been in the 3-on-3. Well, how would we have done in the 3-on-3 basketball? You think we could have beaten Latvia?
I think you could have beaten somebody. I don't know who had been Latvia or
we
not.
We couldn't beat a single team, no matter how it was assembled. If they took a bunch of 80-year-old guys out of an old-age home, we would have trouble scoring 11 points against them.
What about in that silly contest that your buddy there runs every year out there in some gym out in Coral Springs?
Oh, the Masters tournament.
Yeah, the Masters.
That's Special
could,
K, yeah.
Yeah, Special K. You guys could get involved in that, right? The 80
no,
and over.
No chance. Yeah.
70 and over?
70 and over. I don't think I could run with the 70 and overs. I don't know. It might be borderline. I might be able to be like Chuck Nevitt, like the 12th guy on the bench.
Do they have
just get a couple of rings even though you had nothing to do with it?
They actually run a 70 and over division out there.
I mean, I think they have 80 and over, 80 which is really over. Amazing. Running full court basketball in a regulation gym.
I think there's more EMTs sitting on the sidelines than there
Definitely.
Are players, Dory.
It's just like the track. I remember writing a line a long time ago about jockeys that this is the only sport where an ambulance follows the players everywhere they go.
Yes.
While they're in action, and that would have to be the case.
For that tournament.
They'd have to have
there,
like
yeah.
a little golf cart, you know, with medical people on it.
That's not
just going up and down the court in case a guy passes out in the middle of, the first possession.
When the Century Village team won it last year, I was very excited for the guys.
My dad, he was legendary over there. So I had to go over there the other day and pick something up from my mother's place. And,
yes.
May she rest in peace. And still, the legend of my father lives on.
The plaque is still there in the gym there?
All I have to do is drop his name.
Right.
And they call him Drop a Dime DeForest because he was an assist leader there for many,
drop
many
a
years.
Dime DeForest.
Which was in stark contrast to his son, who probably never passed the basketball more than once in his life.
No, the hog me. The hog on the court.
I was shooting it every time. All right, Luby, we'll give you a moment here then to gather your thoughts and tell us what happened, who nailed it, and who failed it. In the NBA draft last night, what was your overall assessment?
I think Jalen Suggs.
That's it. He's supposed to come in hot, Luby. Hot.
I'm giving an opinion because I didn't even start. But
yeah, all right. What do you think?
I just think Jalen Suggs was the best player in this draft, and I find it interesting he fell all the way to 5. I think the Magic, for once, where they go Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac and get all these guys that have sort of flopped. Found a guy that's ready to start day one and a player that they can build their franchise around. That's really what I took from this draft. And the Westbrook to the Lakers trade, which I have no
how do you
idea
like that?
How that's going to work at all. Like I have
I
no
think
idea.
It's going to be great. I think it's going to be great. I really do. I think the Lakers win the title. I'm already in. I put my money down. The money we're going to lose on the run for 71. But the Yankees in town tonight against Los Marlins. How about this guy, too? You want to talk about some nerve? I hounded that guy Armando at the station for a
yes.
couple of tickets to see. I didn't even know the Mets were coming into town next week, right? I think they're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
The amazing
Jersey
Mets,
says they're coming in on Thursday, too, that they have like a 4-game series coming up with
nice.
The Marlins. Is that right? So, Armando, good enough to tell me, how ridiculous it was that at the last second I was requesting Yankee tickets for
yes.
My friend Big Kevin. I stiffed Big Kevin.
You stiffed him.
Stiffed him, yeah, because usually, it's the way it works. There are only a few premium games, unfortunately. It's sad to say, but that's true. In Marlins baseball season, there are a couple of teams that if the Red Sox come to town, it's not quite the same buzz as you get with the Yankees, but there's so many expatriates from New York down here and Yankee fans that the Yankees, I would imagine, do they sell out those games, Luby, or do we see small patches of blue somewhere in the outfield? What do you think?
Yeah, they don't sell out, but they'll get like a good crowd. They'll get the 30,000.
The last time there was a sellout down there was the All-Star game, I think, was the last time. Or maybe the Home Run Derby was pretty crowded.
All-Star game, yeah. And it's Home Run Derby. That was it. And it's been scant few people coming to the games, although I guess you've seen some increase lately. That may change, though. Let it bleed, Ron DeSantis. I mean, if he was a boxing referee, guys would be 2 courts down on blood. Hey, I let him fight. He'd be worse than Flip Omansky, the ring physician out there in Las Vegas for so many years, that a guy would actually be handed a death certificate and he would still tell him, you got one more round, kid. Otherwise, you got to show me something. So I was trying to think, you know how this goes, Luby, and you're upset about it. You don't really like Jersey's presence here on a Friday show, especially on a day where there's a ton of things that are happening. There are a ton of things happening in the world of sports that are significant. Anthony Rizzo, Parkland's own, goes to the New York Yankees. The Yankees looking to be hopelessly out of it. All of a sudden, they go all in, and they acquire a couple of left-handed sticks, as they say, that have some home run power. Although Rizzo only had 14 home runs this year, Luby. He wasn't having a great year.
No, he's not the
Anthony
same dude.
Rizzo. Yeah, and very likable guy. Everybody roots for him. Anyway, and he'll be in town with the Yankees from the Cubs. But a ton of things happening, and I'm thinking, you know, Luby's going to be upset because we're never going to be able to talk about this stuff for 2 hours because Jersey's here, and... You know, he wants to talk about horses at Beulah Park.
I don't think he's ever mentioned Beulah Park.
So I'm thinking, well, how do we incorporate Jersey into this NBA draft conversation? I'm sure he hasn't seen a single second of any of these guys playing. But this is relatable, see, and the whole idea of sports talk, I think, is to make it relatable, isn't it?
I've been in the women's volleyball, so, I mean, I've been kind of topical anyway this week watching, you know, the Olympics. That's been
You have been? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any observations there? I mean, that would be of any significance
to the
audience.
They were looking good, you know. I mean, they were in good shape.
Good one, yeah.
They were in good shape, the girls. I like the bikinis they're wearing this year.
Oh, you're talking beach volleyball.
Yeah, beach volleyball, of course. Yeah, they were looking good out there.
All right, yeah, that's great. There you go. There you have it.
There's your sports update.
Stu Dickman and the Stu Dickman Show. He's got a heavy sports take. But anybody can relate to this, right? What was the biggest mistake? See, now, Luby, you might have to do some thinking on this. I know I do. The biggest mistake you've ever made in your life.
Oh, God.
Because there have been any number of draft mistakes that, like, ruin guys forever. Forever.
The biggest mistake
you
ever made in
your
life.
Do you go women? Like, I wouldn't go women. Like, I feel
go on.
I think we have to exclude women from this conversation.
Okay. No, just be honest. You know, think about it for
a
minute.
I mean, like a really dumb mistake that you made in your life. I can't blame myself for what was probably the dumbest mistake I ever made in my life because I was too young to realize the impact of it and the significance of it at the time. Which was when a friend of mine whose father was a stockbroker, a kid named Marshall Schlossberg.
Yes.
Gotta be careful when you say that. Marshall Schlossberg.
Ouch.
He was a kid in my class, you know, I grew up with, and we were like maybe 12, 13 years old. His father was a stockbroker in New York, and Schlossberg tells me, hey, there's a stock, I think it's really going to do great. My father's in love with this thing, and it was called Communication Satellite.
Yes.
ComSat. And they put the first communication satellite in space.
Oh, Jesus.
What was that worth when it started out at one-tenth of a penny?
Oh, my God.
What do you think that would have been worth today? Like, I could have put my $100 that I had made at Shea selling souvenirs into this stock, and I'd be a billionaire today.
Yes, billionaire.
Yes. Billionaire. So that looms as a rather large mistake, but can you blame yourself when you're like 13, somebody's trying to tell you to play the stock market?
No.
I don't think so.
Right.
No.
Right?
I mean,
it wasn't like he gave me Sir Faffy in the Roosevelt International Invitational at 6-5, and I passed on that.
Sir
I mean,
Faffy. How did Anna's Fast do yesterday?
I don't know. I don't know. Anna's Fast, I'm hoping, was very fast. In the slop, I didn't see it, but Mike Mayo, the Gambling Gourmet, who's going to be with us yesterday. Today, he's going to be with us. Yesterday told me that Anna's Fast was in this race and
nice.
Sent out a bulletin. An alert, Anna's Fast. And I did speak with upper-level management of Deal Volkswagen yesterday.
I'm sure they were all over this horse.
I'm not sure what their disposition was on that.
Yeah.
At the time that I was talking with upper-level management there at Deal, I was unaware that Anna's Fast, even though I had a racing form. I don't tend to go past the race that's happening right now.
Whose form did you steal yesterday?
I bought one. No, that's
no you
my new
did
thing.
Not buy a racing form.
It was a small inheritance with my mother's passing. Buying my own form now.
Oh, so now he can buy one.
Here he is walking around King Kong now, spending the mother's
fortune. Like $5? How much
the
are they?
Poor mom. She's,
why would you need an
12 bucks for a form now. $12 for a form. Plus, you have to leave a tip or you look like a jerk.
I'm sure 14. She was banging on a cloud somewhere up in heaven as
yeah,
you were
exactly.
squandering.
Oh, she'd be screaming at my
squandering her money on a racing
He's
form.
Using our money to go to the track.
You and your mom and
her worst nightmare after her passing.
That's not good, man. It's just it's not good. Ugliness.
Why do I tell the truth here? On
exactly. It's okay.
Biggest mistake you ever made in your life. Now, and I say this in relation. Joe Dumars, right? Brilliant executive.
Yep.
What's he remembered for? Darko Milicic.
Yeah. honestly.
Which defied the most basic credo of all drafting, and that is never take a guy with a Marx Brothers name. Never. Darko Milicic. How about Stu Inman with the Portland Trailblazers going for Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan?
Yep.
That was a dumb mistake and probably the biggest mistake of his life, although I think he made one subsequent to that when he was with the Heat. How about Michael Jordan taking Kwame Brown?
Yep, yep.
Kwame Brown, number one overall. Michael Jordan.
He's done well.
Guy
Kwame Brown, he's drafted Kwame Brown, Adam Morrison, and Frank Kaminsky.
Stiffs, all three of them.
He's done real well at that.
It's not doing good.
Morrison and Kaminsky, two big white stiffs on top of everything else. And Kwame Brown, of course. Kwame actually lasted in the league for a while, although he never did anything of any great significance. Chris Washburn was always the poster child for draft futility for a long time in the NBA, but he was a number three overall pick. Three. Remember Chris Washburn?
Yes.
A little spaced out, a lot of cocaine, that kind of thing kind of did him in. And, of course, I hate to say it, Luby. I hate to say it.
Yeah,
but
too much cocaine is never good. I mean, that could ruin a career.
Yeah, well,
really ruined mine.
That's your deal. It helped you.
Yeah, the problem with cocaine was you thought you could do things on it like an act normal, but it was far from the truth.
Like what kind
They'll never know I'm stoned. Right? Your nose is running. You're going to the bathroom every 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's not good.
No one's going to figure anything's up. But that was a long time ago. Justice Winslow over Devin Booker. Would you say that's Pat Riley's biggest mistake of his life?
It's up
Pat
there.
Pat Riley's biggest mistake. Pat.
It's up there.
Unbelievable.
And you say it can't be. I mean, yours is obviously now a bad stock move that you didn't make. If you
I can't blame myself for that one. A friend of mine also, Cliff Keller, told me about this company, Stokely, that was making something called Gatorade.
Gatorade, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Could have bought into that, yeah.
For pennies, yeah.
He said there's a thing going on at the University of Florida. We lived on Long Island at the time. I guess I was, you know, like 16, 17.
17.
He said, there's this new sports drink coming out that's supposed to kind of re-energize you and replace all of these
now,
electrolytes.
Did he get involved?
You had a pocket full of money from those Ron Swoboda bobblehead you were selling at the stadium?
You know what I sold a lot of that nobody else could sell? The Mets squeegee doll. Do you remember that?
The squeegee doll?
We used to go around, a guy named Mike McGowan and me, we were partners kind of sometimes, especially when the little kids were in the upper deck.
Yes.
Because you needed two guys to get enough stuff up there to sell it before they ran out of money.
When they would go to the local playgrounds and load a bunch of kids on buses and bring them out to Shea Stadium.
Borden's, remember the Borden's thing? Did you have that in New Jersey where you cut the milk carton coupon out and you needed 10 of them to get a free ticket for
free
the upper deck?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not sure if the Yankees did that also. I know the Mets did.
So you were selling
upper deck
squeegee.
Would be full. No, well, they wouldn't buy that. That was like $1.50, this squeegee doll.
Yes.
It was a plastic, well, it was, you know, you're familiar with this. It was a plastic blow-up doll that. but it was like hand size. It wasn't like a giant one. Like the one I
took to the Mr. Party.
The
that
one that
night.
You took to the prom.
Yeah, I dressed her up. Yeah, it wasn't like her.
Do you still have that thing with the mop on its head?
Yeah, that's her.
Oh, God. Biggest mistake you've ever made in your life. Let's look at the draft.
Gatorade. That's a good one, though, the Gatorade one. You should have taken some of that money you made.
I wasn't buying stocks. What did I have, a portfolio? I was 16, 17 years old. I had a little cash from selling souvenirs, but that was it.
Well, you know, but you look like a get-rich scheme. You know, maybe you might have done that.
I never have any luck in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I bought all my real estate investments in 2008.
Yes.
Next thing you know, I
lost
homeless.
All your money. I remember.
Jesus.
You were sleeping on my couch there for a while.
All right, so Luby says it was less than scintillating, the NBA draft, and you think the Westbrook trade was a disaster, so that means that Lakers win the title.
There you go.
Rizzo to the Yankees, I don't know how significant that's going to be. They had no left-handed hitting.
My
now they have two guys.
Of the night was early in the day I heard how the Padres were close to getting Max Scherzer.
Oh, Scherzer,
somehow by the end of the day, the Dodgers were getting Max Scherzer. That's a great move. That is such a scumbag, like, ha-ha, rival, we're going to screw you move. Like, that's
San Diego's always been a redheaded stepchild of L.A., even though overall it's probably a more beautiful and nicer city to live in.
Right.
San Diego. We're going to be going down there at the end of the month.
Delma.
Nice.
Here she comes, exuding class as she turns for home.
Trevor's back there, right? Trevor Denman?
He is.
Very good. All right, we have to run. It's a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Just kind of rolling things out here at the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park. 2 p.m. for live racing. Horses around the track here. That's always sensational. Iron Eagle. Later on in the program. You're a good buddy, Iron Eagle. Kevin's friend, your brother's friend, Iron Eagle.
Love the Eagle.
And Mike Mayo, the gambling gourmet later. Jersey Kyle is here. His draft analysis coming up in just a moment. Now that.
The time.
If you could get a guy who could be a guy. You could go Luby on this. It's 628.
Either way, if they can get the right guy to fall, like, could be a coup. So there's a few guys around that area that actually could be really good if they get the right guy, honestly.
It's now time for the Defoe Show.
Let's take that apart there for a second. That's your in-depth sports analysis, Mike Luby-Lubitz. Was that on your audition tape, by the way, to get a job at the station as a sports talk host?
Play
that thing back again. That was fascinating analysis on NBA draft activity. That was prior to the draft where the Heat blew it, of course, with Justice Winslow being their pick, which you recommended over Devin Booker. I don't want to go back into all of that again, but you did see Booker, unfortunately, didn't win the championship this year. This would be an even better argument. But hit that thing again, Mike Luby-Lubitz, if you can. I just want to kind of get a grip on what you were saying there. Because this was vintage sports talk stuff.
Either way, if they can get the right guy to fall, like, could be a coup. So there's a few guys around that area that actually could be really good if they get the right guy, honestly.
If they could get the right guy to fall, it could be a coup.
I like the fact that there could be a coup, because
could be a coup, yeah. You know, you're talking military stuff.
Major revolt.
Takeover of a country. You're comparing it to that.
A coup, yeah.
Picking a basketball player. And then, of course, what was the final analysis there, Michael?
The guy could be there.
If they get a guy, they could get a guy.
Yes. And if the guy is still there, then you
get
that
guy.
If
they get a guy, they could get a guy.
You imagine by the time they get to the second round, like the 58th pick of the NBA draft, especially where nobody cares about the second round except Kendrick Perkins now. Because how much money are they paying Kendrick Perkins to be on TV 24 hours a day, Mike Luby-Lubitz? Any idea? Kendrick Perkins. He was never the most talkative guy when he was playing. And is he one of those guys that just hates everything? I'm not sure. He seems like, you know, he's got a little bit of personality for, you know, by comparison to, say, a stiff like Jay Billis, who knows everything. And but they have to be out of gas, right, by the 58th pick? Can you imagine? You're just up there on the dais babbling away. Yeah, well, you know what? If they could get a guy, it could be a guy. If they get a guy to fall, it could be a coup. I thought I heard Billis say that last night.
It could be a coup.
Could be a coup. Here they come. Watch out. Hey, Davey, grab a musket. Here come the Mexicans.
At that point, they've gone through a lot of guys. You could imagine that if they're already in the second round, that a lot of guys have gone through the whole process, and now there's not that many guys left that are really good guys. It could be the guy.
Well, you never know if you can pick up a guy.
Right, at that point.
All right, there's your NBA analysis from last night. Cade Cunningham, is he going to turn the Pistons around, Mike Luby-Lubitz? We need to know. Cade Cunningham, number one pick. And nobody thought that was a mistake. Everybody thought that was a good move. Would you agree? Except for Jalen Green, I guess, the kid who I know very little about, but he was in the G League. Now, what exactly is the G League, Luby? I should know this, being in this racket as long as I have. You say it was the D League, but is this a deal where they pay kids out of high school and they basically become professionals for a year? And then they get drafted after that?
That's now what it is. I mean, it was always the developmental league. Instead of having to go overseas or something like that, like guys that weren't drafted would go there. Or you could be drafted and then you stash your guy there for like a year or so. What they started doing the last couple of years was allowing high school kids to go there. So you, instead of going to college, you can go straight to the G League as well.
And what does the G stand for in the G
League? G Money, as in Glenn Rice.
Developmental League, then Gatorade sponsored it.
Gatorade owns that?
You could have really
Brought in when I was 17. Cliff Callery told me.
You would own a league right now. See, you would actually own the G League.
Does that loom as the biggest mistake of my life?
It sounds like that's right up there, yeah.
It's possible, yeah. All right, where's your avenue on that?
I'm trying to think about it, and I want to really give it some thought.
And we're excluding mistakes with women from the conversation, because really, I mean, to compare that to an NBA draft really is ridiculous. It's apples and oranges.
No, but that Gatorade thing, I mean, I could see you right now.
How can I blame myself? What was I buying stocks? What did your stock portfolio look like at 16?
Nothing. 0.0.
Same as it does today.
No, but I mean, like, I get that. And,
I have
some
Altitude International stock. That's the only claim to fame that I have right now.
You're a greedy son of a bee. I mean, you probably might have taken $100 if there's some kid's giving you a get-rich scheme and go, yeah, all right, I'll buy $100 worth. And the next thing you know, like you say,
I was more likely to bet it on a 3-5 shot driven by Carmine Abatello.
So you want to marry a billionaire. That would be you. You would be the star of the
show. My mother always said that. May she rest in peace.
No, but you would be that billionaire at this point.
She said it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich girl.
Hall and Oates said
more, more advice that I have ignored in my lifetime.
Didn't Oates do backup on that song?
I think so. That's how he made the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in town September 22nd, Hard Rock.
Rich girl.
Are you going?
Yeah, let's go.
She's a rich girl. I remember you were singing that all day long when you were dating that woman from Tequesta.
Tequesta, yes.
Who had like a handful of billions of dollars. That might have been. No, I mean, that looms as a large mistake.
It all ended.
But that's women, see, so it's an isolated category. We can't talk about that.
Well,
in relation to the NBA draft.
That relationship went right in the toilet when I asked her if she could squeeze me 20. Is the end of it.
Oh, no, I do remember this. And wasn't it Adele, the performer, Adele, who's now thinking about taking up a residence in Las Vegas? And this gets into the whole mental health issue of people like a very popular topic right now, or at least a common topic with Simone Biles and whatever she's experiencing in the Olympics and Osaka. But wasn't Adele the one, the singer, and she had tremendous critical acclaim as a singer, but she couldn't face the audience? She wore like a hood over her head or something?
Right.
Like she was Bernard Hopkins coming into the ring there as the executioner.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about this Olympic
Jim Morrison,
thing.
The great Jim Morrison, couldn't face the audience when he first started singing as the lead singer for the Doors. He used to have his back to the crowd. People thought it was cool that he was being like avant-garde, but the truth was he was just scared to death to be up there.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. I like Jim Morrison.
Morrison was great, man. I mean, way ahead of his time. 25, and he put out that volume of work, right? Where does that leave us in terms of lifetime accomplishments?
Mr. Gatorade.
Mr. Blutarski, yeah. But I know, how can I blame myself for whiffing on that? Stokely, whoever heard of Stokely, right? And Gatorade came in like those weird bottles, like you get that, you know, the cherry juice that you use to fight the gout.
Yes,
came in those like weird bottles that had some kind of wasn't perforation. What was it? It had like a little texture to it.
Now, I remember the original
and a strange
Gatorade.
Cap. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And you should have bought that stuff.
Can you imagine? What would that? Did they run their own league in the NBA?
The G League.
The G League. All right, we're coming back with more. Jeff DeForest, Jersey Kyle Martinez out here live, Breezeway Bar, Gulfstream Park.
And we've been bringing you the draft like no one else has today, right?
I mean,
we've had
no
very astute analysis.
Nobody else has done it like us.
What's funny is, you know, it normally would be somewhat of a big deal. The local team had no picks. And then there were all these other blockbuster activities that took place in the sporting world yesterday with regard to trades. And I think Westbrook to the Lakers is a great move. Luby naturally thinks it sucks. Find out what 220 Tommy thinks so we can send in some early money on
I'm
L.A.
I'm sure we'll be hearing from him at some point, yeah.
What do you think happened now? Wouldn't the odds on the Lakers have plummeted down to very marginal proportions if you were going to bet on them to win the championship next year, which is contingent on a lot, right? LeBron has to go the whole distance in the season. We don't know if that's going to happen. Anthony Davis is hurt every day.
That's the kid with the eyebrows.
Yes, the brow.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do know your sports.
A little bit.
You belong on a sports show. Luby doesn't believe it, but you belong on a sports show. All right, coming back with more in a moment. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Anna and her team, they don't have to worry about making draft selections and being right or wrong. They're blowing the Taos out of there at prices that you can't believe right now, the 2022 Taos.
That's right.
On the lot and about to be in your driveway at deal Volkswagen. Phenomenal prices, great financing incentives. Almost anybody can get a car there. It's incredible. Almost anybody.
Hey, you and the Pauly man went down there. You guys got cars. My son went down there. His credit was terrible. Yeah, no, they're great.
Sitting on 0.0. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 6:42.
What kind of question is that?
What kind of a question is that?
How could you ask me a question like that?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It's time for today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the great people at Gulfstream Park, where we're very happy to be today on this deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. We are trackside at the Breezeway Bar. Lots of activity later on this morning here with a first race post time of 2 p.m. The spring summer meet is on, and you can place your wagers at firstbet.com. In 1989, what high jumper broke his own world record and became the first man to clear 8 feet in a sanctioned competition? Was it Javier Sotomayor, Dwight Stones, Dick Fosbury, or Valerie Brumel? That answer in a moment. Be a part of the exciting thoroughbred racing at Gulfstream Park. Establish a first bet account today and get into the game. There's no greater thrill in sport than the pulsating pace and chase to the wire of the glorious racing and intense competition taking place on the track at Gulfstream Park. Hallandale Beach Boulevard and US 1. For the latest information on dates, events, and fan access, log on to GulfstreamPark.com. On July 29th, the Sotomayor cleared 8 feet in the high jump, the first man to officially do so in a sanctioned meet, breaking his previous record of 7 feet, 11 1/2 inches. That's today's mini trivia challenge brought to you by the great people at Gulfstream Park. Great being out here at the Breezeway Bar on this degenerate Friday. You can place your wagers at firstbet.com for all the exciting action of Gulfstream's spring-summer meet.
Molly Kalicki Mucka is the thing to say on a bright NFL draft day. That's the Florida greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Tagovailoa is our quarterback. He'll be throwing touchdowns and he'll never get sacked. Molly Kalicki Mucka is the thing to say on a bright NFL draft day.
Enjoy your trip to work with lots of laughs, thanks to Defoe and Luby. Now on the Defoe Show.
Beautiful day shaping up here. A deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. We're live trackside here at Gulfstream Park. Always thrilled to be out here. Breezeway Bar, Gulfstream Park. A lot of activity coming up later on this afternoon. 2 o'clock post time for the first race with the Twilight Racing Concept. And then, of course, you've got the money giveaways and all kinds of stuff. A lot of incentives to come out to the casino as well. Gulfstream Park, a tremendous entertainment destination. We're being entertained out here by the horses on the track. And the live racing is Friday through Sunday. And very happy to be with you. We were talking about mistakes. You haven't offered much up. I mean, I have very boldly come forward and told you that I whiffed on a penny stock that involved something that was going to change the universe as we knew it of all communication, where they were launching this Sputnik into the sky there, and it was going to change everything forever. It was a penny stock at the time. I'd be a zillionaire today. Talking about this in relation to draft day mistakes. Luby thinks Hakeem Olajuwon, mentioned in one of the commercial messages there, Hakeem Olajuwon, one of the promos,
was biggest
a draft day mistake.
Oh, all right.
I don't know that you could say that, Luby. Do you believe that was a draft day mistake? He, of course, taken before Sam Bowie.
No, I don't.
But also before one Michael Jordan, number 23, Michael Jordan. That's Jordan. Oh, sensational. 77 points for the master. No, I mean, yeah, Hakeem was hardly a mistake. You wouldn't say that.
I mean, you can't say that when you get one guy in a draft like a Michael Jordan. You can't say everybody else is a bust. Olajuwon, I mean,
great
career, you know.
No question.
I mean, he was great, you know.
That was Mutombo with the finger.
Mutombo did the finger. But, I mean, this guy,
Mutombo couldn't score like Olajuwon.
Olajuwon could score. He could do it all. No, good draft pick. Come on. No, you only get one Michael Jordan. You only get one LeBron James.
At the time, big
James.
Men were much more valued in the NBA.
Right.
So if you could get it, you had it. And that was the thing with Sam Bowie. They already had Clyde the Glide Drexler, right? That was Inman's excuse. Now, what was your excuse for the biggest mistake you ever made in your life? You haven't offered anything. Like, I whiffed on buying stock in Stokely when they came out with Gatorade. I whiffed on Communication Satellite. And I got talked into buying that place in Boynton Beach by your friend Marie at that time for about, well, that cost me $100,000.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
2008, rough time to invest in real estate.
I think my problem is I've got so many mistakes that I'm just trying to pick out which one would, you know.
Had that joint in Coral Gables,
the
too.
The worst one, you know, the worst mistake.
My dad told me that. He said, you know what the good news is, Jeff? You own 3 houses. And you know what the bad news is, Jeff? You own 3 houses.
Yes.
We all make mistakes, and yet I don't know that we were able to identify anything in particular. Luby, you're our draft expert, and you have nothing to say about who was the biggest bozo of last night's NBA draft. That's always the interesting topic to zero in on, no? Who made the biggest blunder?
I mean, I can't say blunder. I don't know what any of these kids are going to do. I just talk about who I like the most is Jalen Suggs, and the fact that he went 5th is interesting.
All right. You finally made a bold admission here on the show.
That Suggs.
You don't know anything about what we're talking about.
But he did like Suggs, and so we've got to keep an eye on Suggs. I mean, you know.
Suggs dropped down like one spot from his predicted landing place.
Was four, and now he's a five.
Now he's a five, but that's what happened with Darko, right? He dropped Carmelo down, and Dwayne Wade, of course, Chris Bosh, and they each dropped a notch, and Darko probably should have been taken, what, the second round?
Now, I don't want to say Luby's a mush because, I mean, he's not 100% a mush. He's not, like, the biggest mush, but lately he's been a little mushy. I mean, he was the guy.
No, I wouldn't qualify that. Luby's a mush. What are you talking about?
The Luby's Law thing with Phoenix, that mushed out, you know, when they were up 2-0, and he said it wasn't even going to be a series. That was terrible.
All right, we got to run. Now, we're coming back with more at the Breezeway Bar, Gulfstream Park, a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Mike Luby Lubitz at the controls. I'm Jeff DeForest. We got Jersey Kyle out here. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
7 o'clock.